For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Portrait pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
Let's get him in here.
In one corner, we've got 92.9 The Game's midday host, Andy and Randy, at a combined 12 feet, 3 inches, and just under 400 pounds, to the best of our knowledge. And in the other corner, 92.9 The Game's reporter, Smokin' Joe Patrick, at an undisclosed height and weight, because he likes to cause trouble.
Smokin' Joe Patrick joins us every Thursday at this time, the final appearance before training camp begins. Joe, how are you?
Oh man, I'm good. No hugs from me, by the way. You don't have to worry about that. Oh. I don't like touching people.
No, we know unless it's with your fists.
That. We know that, Joe. Oh no, we know this about
unless
Joe.
It's with your fists or the bottom of your feet. We know that. Stomping people.
Maybe that's why I'm still single. Who knows?
Yeah, you got to start touching some people.
Yeah,
you know what
man.
I mean? You'll be okay. What's the biggest question on your mind a week before camp? Obviously, we'll be out there Wednesday. What are you looking to get to the bottom of next week?
You know, I don't know if there's like one huge thing, but I think there are lots of little interesting things to watch out for. I mean, so many position battles on this team that we aren't really that familiar with, or at least I'm not the last couple of years with where this Falcons team has been on the roster. And just in terms of the amount of talent that they've had, there's been a lot of just kind of clear cut defined starters kind of coming into camp and just not a lot of, well, I should say in 2022, there was just not a lot of talent in general. So then you did have some fighting for roster spots, but it didn't really felt like it meant a whole lot. And then last year, obviously, you have these kind of marquee signings that you're bringing in, guys who are going to fill clear spots in the starting lineup on both sides of the ball. And this year, I feel like the first year where you have legitimate NFL talent that's going to be competing for spots, maybe not necessarily on the roster, but especially just in terms of what the playing time is going to be. So, for example, at the wide receiver role, I think we have obviously the team has amassed all these offensive skill position players over the years in the draft. You know that Kyle Pitts and Drake London are going to be out there, and even Darnell Mooney with the free agency, with the free agent deal that he signed with the Falcons. But, you know, kind of who wins that other role, which I think is going to be a very important role in this new Zach Robinson offense that we're going to see between a guy like Ray McCloud and a guy like Rondale Moore. You know, both kind of similar types and both can, you know, maybe have a part to play in the return game. But I think those guys will definitely be battling for spots. So that's one of them. I think on that defensive line is probably where you've got the most kind of NFL caliber players that are going to be competing for spots. And we don't know exactly how the rotation is going to shake out on that defensive line with Jimmy Lake. When you've got guys, both they kind of, you know, there's a lot of talk about the team skipping over the pass rush, the defensive line because of the Penix pick. But then after that, they really kind of went full bore into that defensive line. So you got a lot of young players there, including second year players from that were drafted last year. Plus, you know, guys kind of coming back into the fold like Kentavious Streets. You got Lakeil London, who was given a contract last year, a 2-year deal, so he's under contract for the team. There's lots of, you know, and then obviously, how is Grady Jarrett going to be coming back? He's probably not going to play a huge part of training camp. It'll be interesting to see how much he actually participates in things and what his ramp up looks like. But yeah, I mean, I think there are just lots of little position battles, of course, going on all over the place.
Joe, who do you anticipate any of the players coming in on the PUP this year?
On the what?
On the PUP.
The PEP, what is that?
The pup list.
Yeah. Not to my knowledge. I don't know of any, you know, maybe Grady seems like a likely candidate for that, guys who are coming off of those long-term injuries, but I honestly don't know. And I think maybe some of it is also determined by, you know, how they are evaluated when they come into camp. But, you know, as of, you know, where we were at minicamp, I don't think there's like any major news on that front. In fact, I think I know this is like not necessarily related to the PUP, but like the attendance was very good for the Falcons, where a lot of teams around the league were having trouble with, you know, some guys under contract situations and things like that. And even the Falcons do have some guys under some interesting contract circumstances, like A.J. Terrell, but he was, you know, a full participant at there all throughout OTAs and everything. So I don't expect much to get in the Falcons' way in terms of absences, whether it's PUP or otherwise.
They were able to plan their trips to Egypt.
Yeah, Egypt and everything like that.
Times that didn't conflict with team stuff. How do you think, remember last year, I don't remember really talking that much about it other than it'll be interesting to see how Kyle Pitts looks coming off of injury. I didn't know how they were going to be like holding him back, and he had a brace on at the beginning of camp and all kinds of stuff.
Yeah.
And then we kind of saw it. And then as the season started, they were like, yeah, he can't really do everything. That's part of why he's not as productive. Like, all right. What do you think that process will be like for Kirk Cousins? Like, I know that you've been able to see him at some of the stuff they've had before, but how involved will he be when everything gets underway next week? And how do you think they'll play his return coming off of his injury?
I mean, I have to assume that they're going to basically be full go with him. Obviously, the quarterbacks are not going to get touched in training camp, and that's why I would think that he's not going to play in any preseason games, just because of the optic situation of if he were to get hurt, if something were to happen in one of those games, it would just look terrible. And I think that Kirk is a guy who's been around the league long enough. I would think that he'd be able to get himself ready to go, and he knows what to expect when week one comes around. But, you know, to your point, Andy, I think it will be interesting and worth monitoring just exactly how he looks when he's out there, and not necessarily just on the throws, but like, How comfortable does he look like, you know, getting out to make the handoff on a wide zone stretch when he's under center, or just generally just when he's under center? How do the dropbacks look? How does the, you know, him getting to his different spots for, you know, handoffs on different running plays look? You know, that's, I think, going to be the best way we can kind of go about analyzing his physical rehabilitation and getting ready for the season. But again, I got to say, guys, like, I was super impressed with how he looked. Just, I know it was minicamp and OTAs, and these guys weren't in pads and everything, but man, he looked pretty amazing considering the injury he was coming off of. And so you just kind of knock on wood, and I'm sure he is too. And, you know, Kirk also, it's not just luck. Like, he puts in so much work. And I know for a fact that, you know, everything the guys, people saw when they were watching that Netflix quarterback documentary, when he had that rib injury and he's getting all that work done by, you know, his personal people, not just people affiliated with the team or whatever. But I know for a fact he's come down here to Atlanta. He's found his own team of people who will continue to kind of help his body recover off the field. And they've been doing that work over the last several weeks and months. And, you know, I think he's probably just kind of chomping at the bit, ready to get out there and play and kind of prove to people, honestly. I think with everything that's happened this offseason, I think that he, more than anybody else, is ready to get out there and prove that he's still one of the better quarterbacks in this league, and we'll see how it plays out for him.
I got a question for Joe, because I know earlier on in the offseason they were talking about Bijan, and as far as Rod talked about getting him the ball more. He had 214 carries last year compared to Tyler Algier's 186. Do you see this possibility where those carries might, you know, be dispersed a little bit more towards him? And, I mean, the 186 might come down for Tyler Algier's?
Yeah, I think so. I think you're likely to see the ratio kind of move more in Bijan's favor, where he's going to get more of the bulk of the carries. I do think it'll be interesting to see how or what situations the team does use out Tyler Algier in, because he's still a talented and like capable back who can definitely capitalize on opponents when they're not ready for the kind of power that he runs with. And it's kind of funny because we consider him a power back, which I do think he is, but I think one of the best kind of plays that he executes is that wide zone run, which you would think someone like Bijan would be great at, which he is good at as well because of the agility and everything. But when Tyler Algier gets ahead of steam going on that off that tackle on the outside, I mean, those outside linebackers have a tough time bringing him down just because he's got that low center of gravity. And so I think it'll be interesting to see how much Zach Robinson does want to lean on him, and maybe is it situational? Obviously, Arthur Smith really likes to use Tyler Algier in some of those goal line situations. I kind of get the sense that they will stick with Bijan most of the time, and that Tyler's appearances will basically be down to stamina related things. Just like if Bijan's just too tired to be out there and needs a blow, that's when you'll see Tyler Algier in the game. But and the other thing is that, you know, the amount of carries is going to come down, obviously, for Tyler Algier, not just because of the ratio is going to sway more towards, you know, force feeding the ball to Bijan a little bit more, But also, you know, this team just ran the ball so much under Arthur Smith because of the lack of quarterback play. I think you're going to see a much more balanced offense in terms of the kind of throw to run ratio. And therefore, you're just going to see the carry numbers kind of come down across the board as well.
I know he had a little foot, ankle, something or other in the offseason from training Bijan.
Yeah.
Is that something that we'll be keeping an eye on next week, or did they already sort of clear that up as no big deal?
Doesn't seem to be anything to be worried about. Bijan kind of talked about it. I think maybe when we were there for mandatory minicamp, but I can't remember exactly when we talked to him about it. But like he just said, he kind of like told the team that it felt a little weird because he'd been working out really hard over the course of the offseason, I think down in Texas or in Austin, where he kind of keeps a home base there. And so he was still like doing a lot of work and stuff, but then just kind of reported back to the camp and just said it wasn't feeling right. And so the team opted to just, you know, let him rest it. Don't push him during this period of time. Not really necessary. He could still take all the mental reps. And he was out there, you know, with the team, just not dressed out, but he would still basically be kind of watching the drills go down and kind of just being an observer, despite not playing. And yeah, I would expect him to be just full bore, ready to go in training camp. I just generally think that this team, especially these young players, are just really excited to like finally, I think, show the world, basically, for lack of a better phrase, like what they're capable of, because these guys come from really successful collegiate careers. And then, you know, they've come into the NFL and, you know, just been surrounded by this narrative of basically being like underachievers essentially for the last year or two. So I think a lot of these guys are just like, cannot wait to really expose themselves to the world and their talents and just how good they can really be and kind of really put this narrative to bed. Honestly, I think this team is really ready to turn over a new page and start a new chapter under Ricky Morris.
Hey, JP, how much access are you guys going to have? Because I know the fans aren't going to be out there. So are they going to treat it like a regular season practice where you guys can only be out there for the first part of practice, or are they going to let y'all be out there the whole time?
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one. Quartet pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
No, we should be out there the whole time. So I've got my notepad ready. In fact, I was just meeting with a fellow reporter yesterday for lunch to kind of talk about what we're going to do. And, talking about, you know, can't get distracted out there. Got to keep eyes on the field, keep the diligent notes for the people, you know, because that's what we're out there for. I feel personally, and I'm sure you guys feel as well, like a personal responsibility to the fans because they're not able to be out there to try to relay exactly what's happening to the best of our abilities. I'm grateful for that opportunity, but that's what's always most interesting about training camp is that you get to actually see the entirety of the practice.
Who the hell
are
you trying to get brownie points with, Joe?
Is that how you feel, Randy?
Who the hell are you trying to get brownie points for, Joe?
See, as a former player, Randy hates the fact that the media is out there watching the whole thing.
Do you feel an obligation to the fans?
To do what?
Like what Joe's talking about. Is that how you're also feeling?
Oh, no. I'm nothing like that.
That's funny.
I love how Joe's
when you said that, I looked at Randy and I was like, that's not how Randy feels. All right, Joe. We can't wait. To see you next week, man.
See you guys next week.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.